You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me.
Everything I desire is already mine.
What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today's episode is for the girls who feel a sense of confusion at the moment. This one is for the girls who need clarity, who need maybe a bit of a wake-up call, a reality check. As you girls know, I'm your girl for that. When you need to hear it straight up, when you need to hear the truth, who is the one to come to? It's going to be me. I love when girls tell me I am a comfort creator for them. It makes me very happy because sometimes I'm so honest that I'm like, I hope that it doesn't translate as harsh. I never, ever, ever want my honesty to be mistaken for being like brutal. but at the same time, I don't want to be someone who tells you girls what you want to hear. I want to be the type of creator who tells you what you need to hear. And even if you're not working with me directly as like a confidence coach, it could still feel like, you know, a little coaching session. You know, I tell you the truth. I tell you the things that are going to help you implement change in order to see results, to see your goals come to fruition, to achieve your desires, and to just get everything you want in life. So this one is going to be one of my, you know, let's spice it up with a little bit of a reality check, a little bit of a wake-up call. But I think this one is going to be really, really good and teach a really valuable lesson. So I'm really excited for it. So today we're talking about trusting yourself, not trusting me, not trusting another coach that you hired, not someone whose opinion you just value so much. We're talking about you, yourself, your gut, your intuition, and your heart. It is so common that I get messages or comments from people asking what to do in a situation when they already know the truth. They just want to hear it from someone else because they don't trust themselves enough to make that final call. It's the seeking of external validation. It is a lack of trust in themselves. It is putting, you know, so much value and trust in other people that they think other people know better than they do. I feel like I've shared this little like example once before. It's kind of like an analogy, if you will. I talk about this a lot with my coaching clients. I always say, like, think about when you were in school and say you didn't study enough for a test, or maybe you even did. Maybe you studied a ton and maybe you actually knew the information, but now you get the test and you're circling the multiple choice, A, B, C, whatever, and you circled B, and then you happen to catch a glimpse of the person's test next to you. You look at their paper on their desk and they circled C for that answer. And then you're like, fuck, maybe I didn't study enough. Maybe I don't know enough. Maybe I'm not 100% sure. Maybe this person knows more than I did. And then like you start to overthink. Then you're like, fuck. And then now you're remembering things differently. You're like, wait, I thought that I was sure of this. I thought that I remembered it like this. But actually, now that I think about it, maybe that's not what it was. Maybe it was this. So then you erase your answer. You circle C because that's what the person next to you put. And you're just so sure that everybody knows more than you do. So you trust in their answer more than your own. Then you get the test back a couple days later after the teacher graded them. And your original answer was correct. And you're like, fuck, I knew it. I should have just listened to myself. I should have just trusted myself. That's what happens when you don't trust yourself enough to make the final call. And the truth is that what happens if and when you make the final call and things don't work out the way you hoped or planned in your head, or say you made the final call of circling B, but just saying that, for example, that answer was wrong. Say the answer really was C. So now you had this idea in your head. It's going to go this way. It's going to go that way. I hope things go like this. I hope the answer is B. And you make that final call. You trust yourself. And then if things don't work out that way, if your answer was wrong, if the thing that you hoped for and planned for doesn't happen, then you don't have anyone else to put the blame on. And we don't want that. Nobody wants that responsibility. Nobody wants that weight on our shoulders, whether it's the weight of taking accountability, taking responsibility, holding yourself accountable. No one wants to be wrong. I don't want to circle B if they circled C, because then at least if I get it wrong, it's their fault because they put C and I trusted them. I don't want to get it wrong because of my own judgment. So I'm just going to follow their lead. So a lot of people don't like to make that final call or to make that tough decision, because being the one to call the shots is taking the responsibility. It's taking charge. It's a sense of leadership. Even if it's not leading others, it's leading yourself. It's leading in your own life. And another big weight that I feel like a lot of people always feel on their shoulders or on their back is that they want to wait for the right time. And I'm saying two different words of wait. The first one is W-E-I-G-H-T. The second one is W-A-I-T. When people say, like, maybe I should have waited before I made a decision. Maybe I shouldn't have jumped the gun. Maybe I decided too soon. Maybe I made that decision or that choice preemptively. Maybe I got ahead of myself. Maybe I should have waited, W-A-I-T-E-D, before I said yes, before I said no, before I made the choice or whatever it is. Sometimes we feel like we make decisions too soon. We feel like we need to wait for the right time, or we need to wait for a certain thing. Okay, when they give me the green light, when this happens, or when they say that, then I'll know that it's time. I'm going to wait for this certain thing. So that is a heavy load. That is a heavy weight to hold on your shoulders of thinking like, I made the decision too soon. For example, say that a guy hasn't answered you in a while. And so you don't like that. You don't like that you haven't heard from him. So then you text him ending things and you're like, sorry, this lack of communication doesn't suit me. So this is not going to work. And you end, you know, you end the relationship, the situationship, whatever was going on. You call the shots, you end it because you haven't heard from him. And then he responds to you like, oh, I've just been busy. Like, sorry, haven't been by my phone. Like, it wasn't that serious. I still like you. I've just been so busy, like blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, shit, why did I do that? I could have just waited. I should have just waited to hear from him. Why did I jump the gun? Why did I assume? Why did I blah, blah? Girl, no. There's nothing to stress here. There's nothing to overthink about here. You're still on point. Okay. There was a lack of communication. And that doesn't work for you. No matter what his excuse is, no matter what his reasoning is, a lack of communication is a lack of communication. So what if he was busy? He couldn't take 30 seconds to send you a text and say, hey, good morning. I won't be around much today, but I'll call you tonight when I get a chance. Like, even if he was busy, even if he had the biggest work task, work project going on, you're talking to this guy, maybe you had plans and you haven't heard from him in 3 days. It's unacceptable to, at least for me, that lack of communication is unacceptable no matter what he has going on. Like I said, it takes 30 seconds to even just say, hey, I won't be around today. I won't be able to call you tonight. I'm working all night, but I just want you to know I'm thinking of you. Is it that hard? No, it's not hard to reach out. It's not hard to let someone know you're thinking about them, even if you're too busy to entertain them at the moment. It's simply not hard at all. So this wasn't going to work whether you called the shots or not. This wasn't going to work whether you ended things or not. So I know that there have been a few situations where it's like, oh, I wish I didn't even say anything at all because actually things were fine. I thought in my head things weren't fine because I haven't heard from him, but now I feel stupid. I ended things and he was just so busy. Like, chances are he was probably not going to text you at all again anyway. Like, guys just don't necessarily end things if they don't feel that they have to. So if he feels like, oh, you know, it's been 3 days. I haven't heard from her. She hasn't heard from me. It's perfectly fine. I'm just going to ghost her. I'm just not going to answer. Like, they would just let it go. You might feel like unsettled in that way. You want to close the chapter. You want to close the door. So you're like, okay, like this lack of communication is just simply not going to work for me. So even still, like, I feel like regardless, you didn't do anything wrong just because now he tried to say, oh, like, but I was fine. I was just busy. To me, he just did that whole guilt trip thing because guys don't like to be the one rejected or dumped. They want to be the one in charge. So in my opinion, that's really all there is to it. You didn't do the wrong thing. You didn't jump the gun. You did the right thing. The lack of communication does not work for you. no matter why there is a lack of communication, no matter what he has going on, it's really not hard for a guy who actually likes a girl to say, I just want to let you know, like, I'm here, I'm thinking of you, I just have a lot on my plate right now, but give me a couple days and I'll call you. That's it, you know? So when they do pull the whole guilt trip thing and then they make you to start overthinking because you're like, oh my God, like, I shouldn't even have said anything, that is simply just an ego thing. That is simply just them being like, well, now I just got dumped and I want to have some sort of control, like whatever the case is. And anyway, my point of why I'm even sharing all that is because, like I said, it goes back to trusting yourself. You need to trust that you know something is off. Something doesn't feel right. The energy is not there. You're not aligned. And when you don't make that decision because you're not sure, you're confused. Like I just said in the beginning, this is for the girls who are confused, who need clarity. That is simply because you're not trusting in yourself enough. You're not listening to your intuition. You're not listening to your gut. You're ignoring the red flags. You're ignoring the yellow flags. You're like, red and yellow, those are my favorite colors. Like, you're just letting things go because you don't want to be the one to make that final call just in case things could have worked out, just in case. And here's the thing. Trusting in yourself is like the number one thing when it comes to stepping into your feminine energy. And so many girls struggle with the feminine energy. I get a lot of comments, a lot of messages again being like, you know, I'm trying to do this and that, but I feel like so embodied in my masculine. I don't feel like tapping into my feminine is effortless for me. It doesn't feel natural for me. So there are so many girls who feel really unaligned when it comes to embodying their feminine. And I would say 9 out of 10 times that is because of a lack of trust in yourself. Because a lack of trust in yourself is a lack of confidence in yourself. And a woman who is in her feminine energy, her divine, mature feminine, is a woman who is confident. She is confident that things will work out. She is confident that everything she wants her back. She is confident that there's a natural flow of life that might not always go according to her plan or her timeline, but it's like a river streaming. It's just a natural flow that goes in the way that it's supposed to. It goes in divine timing, in divine reasoning, and she's just so confident that that's what life is like. Just the natural flow of life. And when you're confident in yourself, you're not overthinking everything. You're not doubting yourself. You're not doubting every single decision and choice you need to make. You're not going to be indecisive. You're not looking to everyone else for the answers. You're not playing the comparison game. You're not wanting what somebody else or what everybody else has. You're not constantly feeling anxious about the things that you can't control. As a matter of fact, you understand that some things are out of your control and you're like, that's okay though. It's okay because there's one bigger thing that you do have. So even if you're like, well, it's out of my control, there's nothing I could do about it, even if it doesn't work out the way I wanted, you still feel like it's okay because of this one big thing. And this one big thing goes hand in hand with trust and confidence. It's a very big part of embodying your feminine energy. Every divine, mature, feminine woman has this one important trait. And that is patience. Because patience is the trust that it will happen. So when you lack patience, it's because you lack trust. I do have a podcast episode out about this, actually. It's like a long detailed, so I'm kind of giving you a shortened version right now, but let me see the exact name of the episode. Okay, so I actually uploaded this episode as a Flashback Friday episode on August 23rd, 2024. So if you go on my episodes, look for Flashback Friday, The Power of Patience. That's the name of the episode. I highly recommend listening to that because this is what the entire episode is about. And patience is just such an important trait to have because a lack of it creates so much uncertainty in your life. It creates so much like chaos in your mind. You're cluttered. You're like, oh, I don't know what to do. What if things don't work out? I don't know what's going to happen. What if it doesn't work out? What am I going to do? What if I don't get that thing that I really want? I swear I want nothing more in life more than this thing. So what if I don't get it? What if this? What if that? That is not divine, mature, feminine energy. If you allow yourself to stress like that about outcomes and you're so attached to outcomes that, like, if things don't work out like this, then they just don't work out at all. It's a very scarcity mindset. It's a very strong scarcity mindset, which is the worst way to live your life. I can't possibly stress enough how important it is to have an abundant mindset. A scarcity mindset is having the feeling that, like, if things don't work out like this, then they're not going to work out at all. If I don't get this thing, then I'm going to have nothing. If I don't have it this way, then I don't even want anything. I don't want it at all. It's a very immature mindset. It's a very, like, why does everything bad happen to me sort of mindset. It's like a victim mentality. Whereas when you have an abundance mindset, it's like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work out, but that's okay because I trust that what's meant to work out will work out. I don't know how this is going to go, but that's okay. That's divine and mature feminine energy. It's the ability to relax, to submit to what's meant to be. Submission is a really big one, to be able to just say, I'm letting go of my need to control. And speaking of control, another big part of feminine energy is to be able to control your emotions. It's not to get all erratic and crazy and stressed and freaking out just because you have a certain timeline in your head or you have a certain plan in your head that life may not go according to. It's the ability to control your emotions and say, it's okay. I can wait because I trust that what's meant to be will be. I trust that everything works out the way it's supposed to, how it's supposed to, and when it's supposed to. I would rather wait than force things. I would rather wait than rush things. I'd rather be patient and confident and trust in myself and trust in the process, just the natural process of life, than create a timeline in my head and stress myself out trying to manipulate life to go according to said timeline. You can't just be the puppeteer of life. So when you are confident, when you are patient, when you do trust in yourself, your mindset will then be, I'm not going to try to force this guy to like me. I'm not going to force conversation with someone who's clearly uninterested and hardly responds just because I want a boyfriend. I haven't heard from this guy in 3 days, but I'm just so desperate to find love that I'm going to keep the conversation going. Haven't heard from him in however long, but I'll send him a fifth text, even though he keeps ignoring all my other texts. Desperate energy is not feminine energy, and desperate energy will not get you one single step closer to your dream life. You know that quote? I don't think it's a Kendall Jenner quote. I do feel like Kendall Jenner's voice saying it went viral on TikTok, but it's just the whole, like, I don't chase, I attract. It's not, again, it's not a Kendall Jenner quote because that's, like, always been a saying. But my point is that that's feminine energy. I don't chase, I attract. So that desperate energy is the chasing. It is the lack of trust and it is the lack of thinking that you can attract. I actually have a whole podcast episode on that one out as well. Let me look. I feel like every time that I say, like, a certain saying, it, like, triggers the memory of an old episode. So I knew that I had this one. Yeah. It's called Desperate Energy Won't Get You a Soft Life. And this one came out December 11th, 2023. Wow. Exactly a year ago. So December 11th, 2023. Literally, like, almost exactly a year to the day. Desperate Energy Won't Get You a Soft Life. You need to hear this one. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. But no, anyway, what I was saying, when you're confident and patient and trust in yourself, your mindset will be what I always say. I only want what wants me. Everything I want wants me back. There is no such thing as rejection when you are that embodied in your feminine energy because you have patience. And now here's my key question. What if you did just trust yourself? What is the worst possible case scenario? What is the nightmare outcome? What are your biggest fears? Okay, so think about that. I want you to really reflect on that and actually answer the question. What is the worst thing that can happen in the situation that you're dealing with if you just trust yourself and went with your gut and listened to your intuition and followed it? Okay, so think about that. I want you to let's say write that down. I'm talking to you as if I'm talking to a client, but I want you to know what the answer is. I'm not asking you hypothetically. I want you to actually know what the answer is, okay? And I have two different perspectives that I can offer you here to that question. You get to choose which perspective suits you better or which perspective makes more sense in your brain, because I know we all register things differently. Everyone's like, I think they say it scratches my brain correctly. I don't know, something like that. It's not something I say. It's just something I've heard other people say. But, there's going to be a certain perspective that resonates with you more than the other. So perspective number one is this. Imagine you just answered the question that I just asked you of what the worst thing that can happen is, okay? So you know what your worst case scenario is. You have that one down pat, right? So now, imagine the opposite. Imagine the best thing that can happen, your best case scenario. Write that one down as well. Now you have both. You have the best thing that can happen if you trust yourself, and you have the worst thing that can happen if you trust yourself. And once you have both, I have a follow-up question, and you're going to decide this. Which one of these two things holds more weight or value to you? Which outcome, the best or the worst, is more valuable to you? Which outcome of these two is more valuable to your well-being, to your desires, to your goals, and to your future? Which one of these two will mean more to you in the end? The best thing or the worst thing that could happen? Now I'm going to say 10 out of 10 times, the best case scenario has a lot more value, holds a lot more weight, and therefore matters a whole lot more than the worst case scenario. So why, when faced with these decisions to make, do we stress so much on the worst case scenario when it does not even hold a candle to the value of the best case scenario? Therefore, it should not even be seen as important, because it's not nearly as important to you, your well-being, your future, like I just said, your desires, your goals, as the best possible thing that can happen. So why not just go for it? You have both options here. You weigh them both. Imagine if you're watching this, you can see my hands like a scale at the moment. You weighed out all the scenarios. You weighed out the value. And here you have the best case scenario holds a lot more weight. But you're faced with decisions, and all you think about and hyperfixate on is the worst thing that could happen. Sometimes you don't even think at all about the best thing that could happen. It just exits your mind completely. You're just like, I don't even know what that is. It's not even a thing. It's just a figment of my imagination. It's not even really in my imagination. I'm just so hyperfixated on the worst thing, and I'm so anxious about the worst thing, and I'm so worried about the worst thing, and I'm so nervous, and I have all these doubts. Stop putting weight in something that has none. Point blank, period. So that was my first perspective. And then here's my second perspective that I could offer you. Say that the first one doesn't work. You're like, yeah, I get that, but it just doesn't move the needle. It's not pushing the needle. It's not getting me anywhere. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not impacted. I'm not moved by it. Maybe this one will, because this is a very different approach. So say that you really just don't trust yourself enough. So you struggle with decision making. You don't make the choice. You don't make the move. You're really indecisive because you have these fears. You're so worried about the worst case scenario, and you're so concerned about the worst thing that can happen and everything that could just go wrong. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? Blah, blah, blah. That's like all that you think about, just your fears, okay? Here's the perspective. so what? That's literally this other perspective is just so what? Then that's what was meant to be, isn't it? Things went terribly. Things didn't work out. You failed. Everything blew up in your face. You had a terrible outcome. So what? If that's what was meant to be, then so be it. Things don't just happen by coincidence or because of a certain strategy. You try to strategize life. You followed a certain strategy or you try to control it. Like I said, the puppeteering and trying to like decide how things are going to go. Things don't just happen because you manipulated it or you controlled it to go that way. Things work out no matter what, 10 out of 10 times, 100% of the time, the way that they're meant to, no matter what you do. You could try everything in your power to control it and it still won't matter because life is stronger and bigger than you and more powerful than you. You cannot possibly miss what's meant for you. You cannot possibly miss out on what's meant to stay in your life. So if things don't work out and the thing you really hoped would stay didn't stay, doesn't, if this thing just passes you by, then clearly it wasn't meant to stay. So to that I say, so what? That guy didn't commit to you. You liked him so much and it didn't work out. Big whoop. Somebody else will. Somebody else will like you. That job didn't end up hiring you that you worked so hard for and you did all this late night staying up and practicing and this and that. Okay, cool. Good thing there's a million other jobs that you could apply to. So fucking what? Even if you experience your absolute nightmare scenario, the worst possible case scenario, you'll survive it. It's not going to kill you. You'll learn the lessons that you needed to learn. You'll mature because of it. You'll get stronger because of it. You'll build more character because of it. You'll grow because of it. You might even develop a newfound love and respect for yourself because you survived that really shitty thing. So, sounds like a good deal to me. Going through a little bit of a hard time, going through a shitty situation, like I said, just to come out on top because of it, just to come out even better and stronger than you were before because of it. That's why I say to that, so what? Because even the worst possible outcome isn't that bad. You survived it, and now you know what you need to know for the future. So I ask the original question again. What if you just trust yourself? Well, I think if you do trust yourself and you just make your own decisions without looking in 500 other directions, you'll be so glad that you did, no matter how it goes, no matter which outcome you get. It'll give you a sense of relief because now you finally have the answer that you're looking for. It'll also show you that life goes on. The world keeps spinning. It'll wisen you up a bit. You'll definitely feel more embodied in your feminine energy. Like I said, it's like step number one, trusting in yourself, trusting your intuition. You want to feel more embodied in your feminine energy. Start there. And you'll have even more confidence in yourself to do it again and again and again and again, and to only get better at decision making from then. Because what do I always say? Confidence is a byproduct of action. You don't get confident and then take action. You take action and then you get confident. So do the thing first and then watch how confident you become as a result.
Starting something new isn't just hard, it can be terrifying. So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work out, and it could be scary to make that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. When I started this podcast, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. What if no one listens? What if I do something wrong? What if no one buys my products? All the questions that we're all asking. Now, I know that I was right in believing in myself and launching this podcast despite all the fears and hesitations. It also helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your side to help. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rode to brands just getting started. You'll be asking yourself questions like, but what if people haven't heard about my brand? Well, Shopify helps you find your customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And questions like, what if I get stuck? Not to worry, Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So it's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. That's shopify.com/forthegirls. My bookworm girls are going to love this, especially if you're anything like me and you love when your reads get under your skin and you have no idea what's coming next and the suspense won't let you put the book down. That is definitely The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith, and you need to get your hands on it immediately. It's a domestic suspense thriller where nothing is quite as it seems. It has everything you want in a suspense novel: secrets, lies, emotional damage, and the deeply unsettling feeling that somebody absolutely should not be trusted, and of course, an affair. This book is pretty much one that takes the whole shiny, romantic, my husband is my rock idea and just casually sets it on fire, because beneath all the picture-perfect appearances, The Wedding Vow is packed with tension, deception, and the kind of twists that make you stop and go, oh wow, so everyone here is making terrible choices, which for me is, of course, ideal reading. Imagine realizing you don't know your husband at all, and the truth and shocking secrets are a lot more dangerous than you'd ever imagine. This book is full of that addictive thriller energy where you think you know what's going on, and then the author basically leans in and says, you really thought, huh? So if you like books by Geneva Rose or even Freida McFadden that keep you on the edge of your seat, then you are going to love this one. The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith is available now wherever books are sold, so go grab your copy today.
Now, all of this whole topic, essentially leads to a Dear Victoria submission that I received. If you don't know, if you are a new listener, I have an advice segment called Dear Victoria, where I take submissions from listeners who send over their current situations that they need guidance on. So you could email me your submission to victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com if you need, you know, my advice, and make the subject say Dear Victoria. That's very important that the subject says Dear Victoria so that you don't get lost in the shuffle of everything else, all the other emails that I have. And yeah, we're going to talk about everything I just said in an even more detailed and more specific scenario. So let's get into it right now.
Dear Victoria, I'm a longtime listener of the podcast. It is truly my source for comfort, motivation, and healing.
Thank you.
I am writing in because I have always looked up to you when it comes to your story of being single, not settling, and finding your man. I am recently engaged, and while I wish I was overjoyed, I have never felt more confusion. The little girl in me who always wanted to be married and have kids is screaming with excitement over planning a wedding. However, I can't shake this gut feeling that I should not get married. I have always had doubts in our relationship, but I blamed anxiety, or the saying that no relationship is perfect. As we start to wedding plan, I have been feeling afraid of marriage and like I am making the wrong choice. I know there are areas in our relationship which are not strong and things we have continued to fight about since we first started dating. Overall, I worry I would be settling. That being said, we have been through a lot to make this work, including long distance and moving across the country to live together. I sold my car to move with him. I have a low-paying job. He pays for our vacations, dinners, rent, living expenses. So I feel like I just wasted so much of his time and money if I leave him. But I do not want to get married just because I feel bad about hurting him. It sounds bad, but he is an amazing guy. I love him and he is a good man, which makes this extra complicated. I have never had anyone care for me the way he cares, and my family loves him. I could see a future with him. It just feels like my gut won't let me be happy or at peace right now. Am I just panicking and overthinking? Another thing I think a lot of people can relate to, I am 25 and I feel like it is so late to start over. I always wanted kids at 26 or 27, so it is hard to let go of that dream and timeline and start over. I also feel embarrassed to announce an end. Oh, I also feel embarrassed to announce an ended engagement. It feels like my dream ring and that special moment of being proposed to would be ruined and taken from me. I have no car, no money, and no apartment if I leave. What do I do?
Wow. Okay. First things first. Number one, I want you to take the stress and throw it out the window, because I can feel your stress through the email, and that is just not going to help you at all. It's only going to make matters worse. So I know it's a stressful situation, but I don't want you solving this problem with stress. It needs to just go. You need to be relaxed. Secondly, I want you to put your problem-solving cap on and be able to look at every single problem that you have and find a solution for each one. Like you said, I have no this, I have no that, he does this, he have that, whatever problem that it is, write it down and like legit make it as if it's like a graph or something, like problem, like columns, like problem and then solution next to it. I want you to write out any and all possible solutions for each. So it'd be like left-hand side is all of the issues, and then the right-hand side is all of the solutions that you can, you know, provide to solve these problems. And third, but most importantly, I want you to put yourself first. This is how you're going to really get to your final decision-making. You got to stop the people-pleasing. You got to stop worrying about what everyone else is thinking, stop seeking the external validation and worrying what this one says and that one says and what about my family. It's not about them. It's about you. What do you think? What do you feel? Put that at the forefront. Most important of all is you. You might not feel that way because yes, it's a partnership. So you're like, I have to put him first and that. Hold on. This is not just his journey. This is also your journey. So in a partnership, it has to be a team effort of us both wanting to be in this. So you can't just be in it only because he wants to be in it, right? It has to be a mutual feeling. So if it's one-sided, then that should tell you, you know, off the bat where you're at here. So now let's go through this. So I'm going to address, you know, basically everything that you just said, but I'm going to make it clear that I am addressing this from a breakup standpoint. Because to me, that's the obvious answer. It's very clear to me what needs to happen here. I'm not just an advocate for breakups. I don't like that. I always look for ways to solve the problem before resorting to that. But I just call things like I see it. And I mean, reading this email, to me, it's like clear as day. So from the jump, from the very beginning of the message, your intuition is already telling you something is off. You feel it in your gut that this doesn't feel right. And I'm here to tell you very clearly that if it doesn't feel right, it is not right. And a woman's intuition never lies. Women always know. We are magical. We are powerful. We have a gift. That's why I'm not saying that men don't have intuition. They do, but they are not. It's a much more feminine trait. So you have to be really embodied in your feminine energy to feel it and sense it and abide by it. And that's why women always know. So off the bat, you're like, I have a gut feeling that I shouldn't get married. That right there is telling you everything. You're supposed to feel overjoyed. You're supposed to feel excited and optimistic, yet you feel confused. You feel like you shouldn't get married right there. This is your biggest sign. This is your time to trust yourself. And let me tell you something, you will never regret it. Even if it's hard, even if you go through a really hard time, you will never, ever regret trusting yourself. You will only ever regret not trusting yourself. How often do we say, I should have just done that. I should have just listened to myself. I mentioned the like school, like the test exam, example before. That's one. We do this on a regular basis, even the smallest things like ordering food at a restaurant. You really wanted this one thing. You went to the restaurant craving this big plate of pasta. That's what you really wanted. But then you thought about the calories. So you got something else. You got a salad. And then your food comes out and you're underwhelmed. doesn't hit the spot, you don't enjoy your meal, and you're like, I should have just got what I wanted in the first place. Why did I overthink it? Why did I do that? So you will almost never, ever, ever regret trusting yourself, but very often, I would say almost every time, you will regret not trusting yourself. I can almost guarantee it. And the thing is, you said it yourself, like you've been feeling it for a while. So my consensus from reading that is that you should have probably already been broken up before you even got engaged, because you said you're recently engaged and you said you've been having issues since dating, like for a long time. So I think the biggest issue here is that you're dragging it along for so long because you're not trusting yourself. So now you're in deeper and you're in this relationship longer than you even should have. Now you're overstaying your welcome. Well, you know what I'm saying? It's like, not what I meant to say, you're overstaying your welcome, but it's like that saying, I'm overstaying my welcome. I don't know why I even said that. You're very much welcomed in the relationship, but you're just staying, you're overstaying. You probably should have broke up from a very long time ago, but I know that part of the reason why you have stayed for this long is because you mentioned anxiety. And thinking that this is where it's coming from. So you're thinking, oh, it's all just anxiety. It has nothing to do with him and the relationship. It's all me. It's all in my head. So that's why I think a lot of people stay in relationships longer than they should, because they find all these different reasons as to why it's not something wrong with him or the relationship. It's all just me breeding my own anxiety. But I gotta keep it straight. I gotta call it out right now. This isn't anxiety, because anxiety doesn't come from your gut. You said, I have a gut feeling. That is not the same feeling of anxiety. Anxiety is overthinking. It's coming from your head. Should I? Shouldn't I? I don't know. I don't know. It's so unclear. I'm so confused. A gut feeling is not that. A gut feeling is very clear. A gut feeling is literally telling you what to do or what not to do. Like you said, I have a gut feeling I should not get married. AKA, my gut is straight up telling me, clear as day, not to get married. It's not overthinking. It is clear. Now, anxiety will kick in afterwards, and then you start to overthink about it later on. But the initial feeling is the truth in black and white. It's all clear. No confusion. No gray areas. My gut is telling me not to do it. Black and white. That anxiety is just the aftermath. So I always say your first instinct is the right instinct, and anything after that is the anxiety and the overthinking. Your first answer is the right answer. Everything that comes next is just you getting stuck in your head and your anxiety telling you all the different ways that this can go about that thing that you already got a clear answer on. So it's not to say the anxiety doesn't exist, because trust me, I would have anxiety too over calling off an engagement. That's a very big deal. I'm not saying don't have anxiety. I'm not saying don't stress, because you will have it. I'm just saying don't confuse the two things, because that's not your anxiety speaking to you. That's just the byproduct. That's just the aftermath. The anxiety is coming now because you got the answer. Your gut is like, don't do this. And that will induce anxiety. That's like, holy shit, am I really not going to do this thing that I like 100% thought that I was going to do? So yeah, that is a big deal. So of course, you're developing anxiety as a result, but I don't want you to sit here thinking this is just coming from anxiety, because it's not your anxiety speaking to you. It is your intuition. It is your gut. And I also have to point out that you said, I worry that I am settling in this relationship. And this is actually a huge part of my Queens of Confidence, the digital coaching program that I have. I have a whole session on raising your standards. And one of my big sayings in there is, if you feel like you're settling, you probably are. So I'm here telling you, if you feel like you're settling, you're right. It's because you are. You would never feel like you're settling with your dream man. If the right man for you asked you to marry him, you'd be over the moon. You'd feel like you hit the jackpot. I'm the luckiest girl in the world. I can't even believe that this amazing thing is happening to me. And I get to spend my life with this in this relationship with the perfect person for me. Like, you would not feel the way that you feel right now. You would not feel like you're settling for your dream man and your dream relationship. You would feel the way that you said in the beginning that you want to feel. You would feel overjoyed. You would feel so excited. Like, the way that you're looking to feel right now is how you would feel if it were right for you. To be honest, come to think of it, you probably would love the digital program. I feel like you're like a perfect person for it. So I highly recommend checking that out. But in any case, here's the thing. All the other logistics that you mentioned to me are like nothing. Those are problems that can be solved. I know you might think like, how are you so chill about that? Because it's a lot. I know it sounds like a lot. It's hard. It's going to be hard. I've never said it's going to be easy, but you should feel so lucky that your problems can be solved. These are not life-ending problems, just life-changing problems. And that's okay. Your life will change. That's okay. Change is good. As a matter of fact, you deserve change. You should want change. You shouldn't feel like you have to settle for like the biggest thing in the world. Like, marriage and kids is like a very big deal. It's not a little thing. It's the entirety of your future. It's the entire life that you have ahead of you. So you should not feel like you're settling for those things. You should feel like, I get to have this exactly how I want it. I get to feel good about this. I get to do these big, amazing, beautiful things and be sure about it. So if I were you, I would want change. So like, yeah, maybe you have a low paying job. Okay, you could get a new one. You could even get a second job if you had to. People do it. People do it every day. People make it work. So what? You have to skip out on a few vacations, a few dinners out to save some money. Okay. It'll all come back to you eventually. Short-term sacrifices for long-term rewards. No harm, no foul, no issue there. Remember this saying. I love the saying. The day that you plant the seed is not the day that you eat the fruit. So plant your seeds, make your changes, trust the process, and then you get to reap the rewards. Then you get to eat the fruit later. You know, it's not harmful. It's not, like I said, life-ending. It's just different. It's just life-changing, and that's okay. And this change requires you to be dependent on you and you alone, solely on yourself, rather than depending solely on your partner. And as much as he's a great guy, because like you said, he's great, there's like literally nothing wrong with him, you shouldn't solely depend on him. And that's not a him thing. That's a you thing. So I'm not sitting here being like, don't trust him. It's just you need to trust yourself more than you trust other people. You need to rely on yourself more than you rely on other people. Even if you can also depend on him too, additionally, cool. And sure, like you said, he's a great guy. So that's all fine, but he's not the only great guy in the world. He's not a unicorn. No one is a unicorn. So I always say if one of him exists, then there's got to be more out there. He's not one of one good guys out in the world. He's one of millions of good guys out there. And if you do break up, if you do become single and you start to date and you meet other guys, it might not always feel that way. It might not always feel like there's millions of, you know, great guys out there, but you can't get too wrapped up into that and then leaning into the scarcity mindset that I mentioned before. You have to lean into the abundance mindset. Look at me. Look at all the dating experiences that I went through. I went through so much trial and error with guys. I met so many assholes. I had so many shitty experiences, and I was documenting all of this on TikTok. So people were seeing this and I was still never getting, and I was obviously documenting it on like the podcast too, but you still never heard me get on TikTok or get on my podcast and start saying like, dating sucks. Guys suck. There's no good guys out there. I hate this. I don't want to go out. Like, you never heard me saying that and leaning into the scarcity mindset just because of bad experiences. It was the opposite. I just kept saying, this makes me more eager to meet my guy. Now I can't wait to meet my guy. I was excited when things didn't work out because it meant that I was one step closer to something that will work out. So you can't stay with someone just because he's a great guy, because that's a big scarcity thing. Like, that's literally saying, I won't be able to find another good guy. I won't be able to get anything better than this. This is the best that it gets for me. Even though I'm not happy, even though I don't feel great, he's nice. He's a good guy, and I probably won't find another nice, good guy to care about me. And that is so not true, because I promise you'll find more great guys. You'll find guys who care about you. And more importantly, you'll find your guy, because I'm sorry to say that I believe you have not. Just because you've gone through all of this with this person, I still, like, something is clearly missing. I think that so much of the reason why you have continued to stay in something where it doesn't feel right to you, it doesn't feel whole to you, it feels like something is missing, is simply because of the people pleasing, the external validation, putting everybody else first before yourself. And people pleasing, to me, in my opinion, is an awful disease. I really mean it when I say that. It makes people sick. The anxiety, the pain, the gut feelings, the confusion, the brain fog, the stress, all of the things that come as a result of putting everyone else first before yourself are symptoms of sickness. It's not healthy, and it's not normal to feel that way, especially at, like you said, only 25 years old. You're so young. Like, at this stage, your 20s of all times, prior to having kids and prior to marriage and whatnot, is like, this is your time to put yourself first. This is probably the last season of your life where you will get to be selfish without feeling guilty. So forget opinions and judgment. That's nothing. That's so irrelevant. And forget his feelings for just one second. Just forget his feelings for a minute. What would you do if you put your feelings first? I'm not saying, like, fuck his feelings. I'm not saying fuck him. I'm just saying put yourself before his feelings right now. Put your feelings before his. Put your feelings before everyone else's feelings right now. What would you do if you put yourself first? What would you do if you trusted your gut instinct? What would you do if you listened to yourself? I think you would end the relationship. So you're still in it for him because you're putting him first. And that is so not fair to you. And honestly, it's not fair to him either, because you're saying, you know, he's such a great guy, I don't want to hurt his feelings, but this is not necessarily doing right by him either, just staying with him even when you know you don't want to. No, I don't think anyone wants their partner to be with them if the partner does not want to be with them. So you're not only being unfair to you, you are also being unfair to him, because if this is someone who, you know, loves you so deeply and all of these other things that you mentioned, he's going to want that back. Everyone wants reciprocated love. Everyone wants their partner to want to be with them. So I don't even think that you're doing right by him. Anyway, you're just worried about hurting his feelings by telling him the truth. But sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth is the treating people with integrity and having the best intentions and doing the right thing, just because you know it might be the hard thing, but it's the right thing for the both of you. It's the most beneficial thing for them in the future, because you don't want to take anything from him either. I know you're concerned about things being taken from you, but there's two people that something is being taken from here. And even though it'll be hard, at least you're not going to take more from him just because of your fear of, like I said, hurting other people's feelings, people pleasing, all that sort of stuff. And speaking of being unfair, there's one more thing I want to just mention that I think is especially unfair to you, is the stress that you're putting on yourself. Excuse me, the stress that you're putting on yourself with this timeline. Oh, the timelines. I think every girl has them. I'm 25, so the sky is falling. You know, I'm almost 30. So for me, I'm like, I'm on my way out. You only got a few more weeks left of me. I'm only a couple of months left in my life, because it all goes downhill from here. But listen, everyone, like I said, has had these timelines. I have a note on my iPhone from literally high school of my timeline that I had for myself with kids' names and all this stuff. I thought I was going to be married by 24, have four kids. All that was going to be done before 30, by the way. I was like, oh, by the time I'm in my 30s, I'll be like relaxed and retired and have grown up kids. And I was very young when I made this timeline, but I was so sure that that was going to be the timeline. I was very dead set on that. Fast forward, I didn't meet my boyfriend until 1 week before I turned 28. I'm 29 now, soon to be 30, unmarried, childless. And will you look at that? Life goes on and it all works out. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I have so much to look forward to. We have so much to look forward to. I can't wait for my future. It's not the timeline that I originally wanted for myself, but it's the one that I got. And let's say that your story goes like mine. Like I said, I met him right before I turned 28. So if your story goes like mine, then you have 3 years of being single ahead of you. And say that you meet someone at 28 like I did. So what? Would you rather be married now just to fulfill your timeline, yet you're not fulfilled? So you get married, you have the kids because you have a timeline to fulfill, yet you're unhappy and your heart is unfulfilled. And then potentially, actually, I could say ultimately, but we could say potentially, get divorced down the road. Would you rather that, or would you rather wait a few more years and find the person that you'd be happy to spend the rest of your life with, sure that you want to spend the rest of your life with, certain that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Because let me tell you something, a breakup is a lot easier to go through than a divorce. These are two different ball games. Breaking up with a boyfriend or a fiance, getting divorced from a husband, especially after having kids, two completely different ball games. So you could either get it out of the way now and all is said and done and you can go your separate ways and be amicable, or you could go ahead and get married and even have kids and then just count down the days, the weeks, the months, the years until you potentially or ultimately, or I think inevitably, have to go through a much harder separation then. To me, the situation is clear as day. And I think that the breakup is bound to happen, whether it happens now or later. And even just in general, like, you can't live your life unhappy and feeling this way. It's not worth it. So if you do it now, then you're unhappy for just a little bit longer. And then you're so much happier in the future. Whereas if you do it later, you're going to be unhappy for a lot longer time. That's what I think. I think you'll be happier, even if it's next year or the year after, even if it takes a little bit of time of healing, sooner if you do it now rather than later. I think inevitably you'll just continue to be unhappy if you move forward in the relationship. With that being said, I do want to also address the alternative and just put it out there that if the breakup is not what you want and you do decide to stay together, all I really suggest is that you work out those issues that have not been treated or worked on. It's not even a suggestion, it's a requirement. You must do it. Whether it's couples therapy, that's an option, or both of you individually go to therapy, that's an option. Whatever suits you both to get it done. The doubts that you say you've always had need to go away. The problems that you say you've been having need to go away. You will not have a healthy and fruitful relationship with these same doubts and issues. So if you do choose to move forward and get married, my advice is just not to do it until that's all taken care of and you're in the right place of, you know, feeling happy, safe, secure, confident in the relationship, worry-free, doubt-free, anxiety-free, just pure certainty. I wouldn't even be wedding planning. You could be engaged, but I would not be planning a wedding until those things are completely said and done and you are entering the relationship as new people in a completely new phase and a new season and a new stage of life. You cannot carry those same problems through the relationship for years to come, especially if bringing kids into the picture is your plan. at that point, it's like, why are you going to bring these issues into a family? You know, it's like you have these issues already. At least they're only amongst two people. Solve them now before they become amongst three, four, five people. So in my opinion, moving forward in a relationship isn't only about moving forward with a wedding and kids and like, oh yeah, we're moving forward. We got married. We had kids. That's moving forward. No, to me, moving forward is also about the progression of the relationship itself, the bond between you two itself. That needs to move forward before anything else does. So think of it as like step one, two, three, four, five. So if you are going to stay in a relationship, step one is fixing the issues. And there are no further steps until that is done. After that one is done, then step two is to plan the wedding and so on and so forth. But forget the whole timeline thing. Let that go. It's not even a thing. That has to just boop, poof, be gone, whatever. Like the timelines are just not, they're not helpful for anybody. They cause so much stress, unnecessary stress. And like I mentioned, we can't just control life and manipulate life to go according to the plan. You have to trust in the process. You have to trust in the natural flow of life, and especially yourself. And I believe if you trust yourself in this situation, you'll know what to do. As a matter of fact, I think you already know what to do. I think you're just asking me because you don't trust yourself enough to make that final call, like I said. But I hope that you just take my word as just a minor opinion and not your deciding factor. I hope that you decide for yourself. But like I said, I think if you do trust yourself, I think you already know what needs to be done here. And I know that was all a lot, but that is all that we have for today. Thank you girls so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share on your story and tag me so I could repost. If you listened or watched on Spotify, please leave a comment on the episode and 5 stars on the profile. If you listened on Apple Podcasts, please leave 5 stars and a review on the profile. And if you watched on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Everything you need from me is linked in the show notes, including the email for the Dear Victoria submissions. And that's it. Until next time, girls.